Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
I do think it's kind of funny that you can always tell a movie was produced by A24.
Yes.
Just by the colors.
Yeah. You know? You can tell by the colors. You can tell by the pacing. There's like a pacing.
Yeah, you can tell by the
specific pacing.
That you could probably tell by how much dialogue is in a script. If you look, you're like, there's not that much dialogue in this script.
Yep.
A24 is like, got it.
Yep. It's about some... It's interesting because I've never seen a studio do that before where the studio itself becomes the style, and it's almost like the creators adapt to that style. Like, would they make a Spring Breakers today? Like, Spring Breakers is so different in visual and content than what A24 makes now. Like, would they make a movie like that?
I still feel like Spring Breakers is an A24 film, right? Because they did the Zola too, right? Didn't they? That felt like Spring Breakers.
I guess so. But also, it's so...
Yeah.
Zola feels like it looks like the rest of the movies, where to me, Spring Breakers, Anything Everywhere All at Once, just the color palette alone looks different. Whereas, like, you look at, you know, of course, Moonlight, Florida Project, almost everything after that all has the same
feel. Mid-90s.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Whereas I'm like, it's almost like, do the auteurs have a chance to like do their own thing? Or is it like they're picking projects that already feel like the wheelhouse of the thing that they already do?
I think it's the latter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I doubt that they're telling the filmmakers, this is how you have to do it. I think maybe they push people one way or influence them, but I do feel like they're linking up with people who like their style. And they, you know, and they also have like a horror style as well.
Yeah,
that's slightly different, but also similar. You know, it's like all the horror A24 films.
Yeah, like the Babadook feels like it. Witch.
Yeah.
Witch is the, okay. Yeah. Witch.
Lamb.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It comes at night.
Yo.
Yeah.
Great. When I saw, I remember being in the theaters and the trailer for Lamb came on and I thought it was like about to be a parody movie.
Yeah, it looked like a sketch.
Like of an A24 movie. And I was like, oh no, they are dead ass serious.
Yeah.
About this lamb being a baby. Like I was like, this is not a joke. Like we are.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
This is a real thing.
Like this is.
Yeah. It's crazy. When I saw the TV glow.
Did you freeze? What happened?
Yeah, why?
Yeah, so you saw. Yeah.
Did you guys hear me? Did you guys, am I back? Am
no,
I back?
Of course we heard. No, you didn't.
Did you freeze yourself?
Yeah, sorry. No, my internet cut out.
No, I'm not.
Anyway,
sorry.
Blinking, I was,
your TV, yeah, we saw you blinking.
My internet went out.
You were blinking. Like, you literally didn't even freeze like that.
What were you talking about? Lamb. Right, that's why. Because you saw the trailer. When I saw the TV glow.
But why you keep saying when you saw the TV glow? I'm talking about Lamb. The trailer, like that's not a.
Can you guys hear me?
We don't normally share the video.
Can you guys
of the
hear
pod,
me?
But everyone needs
please,
to see.
Please, he's not steady. Like he's not
actively freezing.
Oh,
actively trying to be.
Sorry, guys, this is weird.
But he's swaying. But he's swaying.
Yeah, goodness,
it feels like it's cutting. What did you guys hear me say?
No, we don't need to say it again. We heard you say start the show. We heard you say start the show.
When I saw the TV glow.
To start.
Okay. Oh, all right. You know what? I don't know what's going on here. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock. James the Third. Drop Milligan.
All right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
All that was left was her TV set
burning in the backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
That's
right.
That's a, yeah. That's it's so funny. Dope. I was wondering what line you were going to pick, and I was like, they all were going to feel like that.
Yeah, know? a few came before my eyes, or I guess flashed before me. But they all, that one was the one that was clearest, I would say.
Amazing. Look, guys, for those of you who are listening for the first time, welcome. Thank you so much. We are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. So there are three of us with three very distinct voices. This voice you're listening to right now that does like watching TV to a crazy extent. You know, the voice of you here sounds like someone who is very up to date and knowledgeable about cinema and television. That voice is Jonathan Braylock.
Mm-hmm. That was good, Bray. I was really wanting to see where you're going to go. I was like, how's he going to try to relate to this one?
I just did.
No, it was great. You did great. That was great. This voice is that of Jerome Milligan.
And this voice, you know, that is wrapped, certainly wrapped up in nostalgia to a degree to where the lines blur between reality and fiction. Voice is James the Third.
That was a very Braylocky response right there. That was crazy. That was insane.
I just chose the guy. I figured I would go there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Listen, it's October. It's spooky season. We are reviewing the sci-fi / horror / drama / LGBTQ plus mystery thriller, I Saw the TV Glow.
Yeah.
This film was released earlier this year in May. It is an A24 film. It stars Justice Smith. It was written by Jane Schoenbrunn, I believe is how you say their name. It is currently available to view on HBO Max. It didn't do so well. It was a somewhat limited release. 469 theaters, not a lot. Not too small, but not a lot. It wound up grossing a little over $5 million. At the box office, there isn't a budget that was reported.
Okay, no reported.
It doesn't seem like a big budget film, but
yeah. Because my question is like, is $5 million, is that bad? Like I'm
I don't
not
know.
Sure.
It's certainly not great. Yeah. We can at least say that it's not like this was a glowing success. But whether or not it made its money back, was a little bit profitable, or did indeed lose money, it's hard to say. I will say this, A24 does a lot of films like this. They do a lot of, like, I think that's a bit, I know they might be changing soon, or in the process of it, but A24's motto for quite some time has been, hey, we're going to make a lot of indie, small budget movies, knowing that, you know, maybe half or maybe even more than half will not hit, but the ones that do will be able to, you know, pay for the ones that do.
We'll be able to do more. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is what we like to do. We like to find auteur filmmakers. Give them a shot. This was also directed by Jane as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Written and directed.
I thought so.
Okay. Yeah. And it is a trans allegory, you know, so we will just admit to the listener right up top that none of us are trans or even, I think, identify as queer. So obviously, like, there's a lot of elements of this film that we can't speak to with personal experience. Unfortunately, we couldn't get a guest for that. So, like, apologies for our limited, you know, knowledge, or, you know, there will be things that we have questions about that we probably won't get answers to, which is okay. This is still a film that I think was intended to be seen by people who are non-trans or queer or non-binary. Why don't we just, should we just get it? Is there anything else I need to say? Oh, right. It was, let's see. Rotten Tomatoes, 84%. Critics, 84. Fresh.
Oh, wow.
And okay. Audience, 71%. With less, but still... Interesting. But still positive. Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine this movie is going to be up for any awards. Maybe, or I mean, certainly not Oscars. Maybe some of the independent awards. Even that, I'm not quite sure. I don't know if it has quite that that buzz about it. But certainly a film that a lot of people have talked about. And yeah, shall we get into it?
Yeah.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin'.
Yes, just download the Earnin' app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck.
Y'all, there are all kinds of reasons why you might need your money now. Me personally, I got a little one and sitters are expensive. You know That's what I'm true. Saying? That's so true. I can't it's be waiting true. For my check. I can't wait 2-3 weeks for my check. I need the money today. I need it now. So you know what I mean? You got to get that Earnin' app.
Speaking of, download Earnin' today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin' app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Earnin' is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location, see earnin.com/DOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Initial thoughts? Does anybody want to start?
I mean, I guess I'll go. I think I will know by the end of this episode what my initial thoughts are. I'll be honest. I think in the day and age we live in now, I struggle to critique movies that I feel like weren't specifically intended for me. And I do think all movies can be enjoyed, but I do think there are probably certain nuances and deeper meanings in this movie that I think I just may have missed. I think I just may have missed them. As far as like the writing and the construction of the movie, I don't even feel comfortable saying like whether I liked it or not, because I just think that's, you know what I mean? It's like, it's hard for me. Sure. Like, would I watch it again? Probably not, I don't know how I feel about this movie. I don't even know how to critique a movie like this, because it feels so uncomfortable to say anything negative about a movie in this space, knowing we don't have a lot of movies in this space. So that's, I'm at a like a, sure. I'm an emoji with the hands up like, I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
I can go. I am interested though, Gerard, what you felt about it, like from a directorial standpoint too, because a cinematography standpoint. Well, because like, I think that that's another big, another thing that I like, I don't have a lot of experience or language in that. Like, I could definitely like watch things and I might not be able to say what the composition of the shot is, but I can be like, that looks like a cool shot or not.
Yeah.
And I do feel, so for me, this film definitely feels like an A24 film for better or worse. You know, to me, when I say that, I'm like, there's a certain visual style, there's a certain pacing style, there's a certain, you know, like, not like, narrative is not the most important thing.
Yeah.
And that's always going to be a struggle for me personally, because I think I've realized about myself, like, storytelling is like the thing that I like most about TV and movies. So, and I care so much about the story. So when the story feels opaque or like hard to understand it doesn't emotionally resonate with me, then it's tough. That said, like, I can completely understand that this is a film that is emotionally resonating with a lot of people, you know, who have a certain experience. And I actually will say that there are times where I was feeling it, like, you know, obviously the main character is struggling, you know, it's an allegory, but obviously the main character is struggling with their identity and their gender identity. While I wasn't necessarily relating to that, I could relate to a, you know, light-skinned black kid who's quiet, who feels somewhat out of place, who feels like, you know, maybe not, it's hard for them to be outspoken, it's hard for them to say exactly what they want, you know, so some of that I could sympathize with, if not empathize. So I was feeling that I always kind of like genre bending and like adding a little bit of sci-fi or fantasy to things. So I enjoyed those moments, you know, there were, all the stuff with purple opaque?
Oh yeah. Purple opaque.
Pink opaque. The thing, but I was confused a lot and I wanted to understand, like, I know that there are like things I'm not going to understand from an experiential point of view and maybe even from the allegorical sense, but there were some things that I was like, I feel like we could have explained this a little bit more, like what exactly is happening. And I just wanted to be in on the journey a bit more. And I felt like I wasn't. I don't know if that was the intention. You know, that's the thing. I'm so curious to know from the filmmaker's perspective, if they were like, I'm making this for me and people like me and people who can relate to that experience. And I'm not going to translate. I'm not going to bother translating for anybody else. And obviously, as, you know, black writers and filmmakers, we can understand that to a certain degree. That said, even when I will say personally, even when black people do that, I kind of am a little like, well, don't you want other people to enjoy this too? Like, yeah. I don't know. I've always felt that way about filmmaking in general, but I think not everybody feels that way, which is also why, by the way, I'm not always into auteur filmmaking. I'm not always into the people that like the industry labels like this person is an auteur, you know? Yeah. And sometimes I'm always like, okay, to me, that just means they just are catering to the elite, mm-hmm. you know, like, mm-hmm. and they don't care about regular people seeing something. And so I like, that's part of me that like, I so wonder if trans, non-binary, queer people related to this movie who aren't well-versed in film, who aren't well-versed, who aren't in the industry or connected to the industry or film junkies, you know what I mean? Could they relate? Do they understand all the allegories that were being made, or is it hard for them as well? I don't, that's a question we literally can't answer. It's just a question that I had while I was watching. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, a lot of people after seeing this movie back in May or whenever its release was, reached out to me just being like, I really want you to watch this movie. I know Jaras said that my answer earlier was Braylocky, but as somebody who was chronically on TV and like talks a lot about a lot of the things that this movie, in terms of the nostalgia aspect, directly referenced, I was very much that kid. I have a couple projects that I've written that are about the black guy who feels like he is the black friend and having lines blurred because of the things that he consumed and watched on TV. So there's a lot of stuff about this that I connected with in a different way. But was very moved by it. I have said this before. Some of these A24 quote unquote horror movies bother me when they don't scare me. when it doesn't seem like they're trying to scare me. And so
I felt like this film was not trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
At all. At any
at
point.
All. And so like, yeah. And so then I was like, well, then why did I, maybe I was just confused. Maybe I misread something and thought it was this was a horror movie and it's not at all. You know what I mean? Like
if you go on HBO Max, it's in the horror section.
It's self-described as a psychological horror film, just like their first film that they all wrote and directed, We're All Going to the World's Fair.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was a little like, there were certain things that I think the writer in me was starting to write for, like the ending of this movie that didn't happen, that I was like, oh man, it could have been scarier in these ways, you know? But again, like the both of you have already said, like this being about a very specific experience, I wonder if that has to do with why some of those things that I was thinking of, you know, didn't or don't happen, or even if it's also just sort of stylistically. But that being said, like, I thought the movie looked great. I liked the sort of flipping back and forth between like what is real, what is not. I was really moved by once we got particularly when we're like in the season finale of the of the show. I thought that was great. I really thought that was awesome. I thought the ending was a bummer, but I just saw a headline, a Vulture headline that's like, actually there's some hope in the ending of this movie. So I'm interested to see if you guys felt any of that, or if I need to read this article and see. But I was like, oh man, I feel bummed by where this has ended. I wonder if that was the intent. So I'm excited to talk about it more specifically. But again, like, Daph thought it looked great. Thought the acting was really moving, and excited to talk about Beat by Beat.
Cool. Yeah. So I mean, this movie starts in 1996.
96. And he's in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Seventh. He's a seventh grader?
Oh, I don't know the exact age.
Because
they're doing They're doing the parachute game, which I thought, like, oh, that feels very young. the parachute.
I just remember the conversation they had, and she was like, she asked him, I think he said seventh, and she was ninth. Mm-hmm.
Correct. She was ninth. Okay.
Moonlight does this as well, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But I'm not gonna hold you. When this little kid popped up, I was like, "Oh, who's this kid?" And then at one point, I was like, "Is this kid supposed to be Justice?"
It doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
I'm glad the kid got some work.
Yep. I was like, you know what?
Well, I think the hardest part about that specifically was that there was only a 2-year jump, and then it went from that kid to Justice in 2 years, and you're just like, well,
Yeah, because it jumped so much.
It was just like, come on.
I was also a little frustrated in terms of this, around this sort of same idea. I was also a little frustrated by the time jump at the end and that it was still justice. But we could talk about that.
I kind of agree. There was a part of me that didn't quite even understand. It was kind of like, if justice is going to play a ninth grader.
Yeah.
I mean, then why not just have... play the seventh grader too. Like, yeah. I don't believe he's in ninth grade. So you know what I mean? Like, I don't, or if this kid is going to come in and play seventh grader, have him play the ninth grader. Yeah. I don't like that. That is more like that kid being going from seventh to ninth is more believable to me than
yes.
I'm supposed to believe Justice is in ninth grade.
But also when you watch the movie again, and maybe this is something that I didn't notice, but he could have been a high school senior, or like he could have been like, because to me, them being a different age, I thought was going to play out. I thought it was a reason that she was 2 years older than him.
Yeah.
But maybe I missed it, but it didn't seem like it was. So I'm like, technically, they could have been like, you could have just made him older. Like, he could have been an older kid.
Well, there was a couple of things. I mean, like, I did think that it added something in the beginning of the movie when you didn't know where it was going. There was like, this feeling of like, is Owen doing this because he has a crush on her? Like, is there going to be some weird thing between them? And then like, and then obviously later on, like, that's not the case, but it's like they were connected, but she was a little bit older and was like teaching him. And so he kind of had more of a fascination, I guess, with her. I mean, did you not feel like I know we saw him, and should we be even saying him? I don't know. I guess the movie itself, it's like, because this character never actually winds up embracing their identity, they are using the pronouns he and him for,
I think so,
their entire life. So, but when we see Owen as a kid, we see Owen watching the TV and we see the trailer of the Pink Opaque, and Owen does seem to be intrigued by it, but has never watched it. And then what was the event that he was at where he meets her? Cause she's just
voting in the cafeteria. They were there to vote at the school.
Got it. So the parents were there to vote at the school. And Owen kind of trails off, goes to the cafeteria, sees this girl there, and she's reading a book about the Pink Opaque. And he's like, oh, I know that. And like kind of tries to befriend her. And at first she seems to be kind of standoffish, but then it's like, oh, well, if you're interested in this, when they talk more about it and say, yeah, like, I'll let you, if you want, you can come, you know. Like, I watch it every Saturday night.
But what's so funny about it, do y'all remember? I remember being younger and, you know, I couldn't necessarily, oh my God, this is going to sound so sad. I couldn't necessarily get video games like how I wanted because they were, you know, pretty expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So what I would do is get the Game Pro books and things like that. So I would like read about the games like I had it. So I kind of like, you know, could go to school and I would know, you know, on level 4, this thing would happen, but I've never actually played the game. So to see her sitting there, like reading about a show, I was like, that's so, one that's so 90s where I'm like, you're reading every, because now what you do is you do that on YouTube. Like now, if I go watch a movie, you know, instead of reading a book about the making of it, I just go on YouTube and just watch YouTubers dissect the movie. You know, that's literally what I do. Like, oh, the Easter egg, blah, blah, blah.
That is essentially Owen's only frame of reference at this point, you know, Owen's doing exactly what you what you were doing with those video games.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I did that for so many games. I did that for one game, and this is the only tangent I give you, is there was a game called Shaq Fu, which was Shaq decided to do a Mortal Kombat style fighting game. I can't tell if it was good or bad because I never could get it, and it was never at Blockbuster, but I would read this like book, and like Shaq would be doing, like, they had his poses from the game, and like, yo, this is so silly, and it was so enjoyable. So the fact that he took the book and like learned about the show, because the show basically is probably more, it's like an adult version of Are You Afraid of the Dark, right? Is the Pink Opaque?
Yeah, or or like a hybrid Are You Afraid of the Dark Buffy was the vibe.
So
that
this
I got.
Is my
because
thing.
They're
so-
main characters that you're following. And then there's a creature of the week. So they, so like it was Are You Afraid of the Dark in like the time slot, you know, that it came on.
Correct.
But then it was more a Buffy kind of show.
So
because
so
they followed a narrative.
But this is my thing about okay, because it's so interesting you say that because like I guess going to Bray's question earlier, the visual A24 is such a prestigious place. And it's wonderful. And it's not me just like trying to, you know, stroke them a little bit, but they are. And I think sometimes when you look at the visuals in their projects, you bringing up Buffy. I used to watch Buffy. We're talking about Sarah,
Michelle Geller, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is my thing. That Buffy was a CW show that
and
looked
Allison Hanny?
Yes. And looked and had an energy that was like more vibrant. Like it was much lighter in visual and tone at certain points than the actual movie was. So what I'm looking at when we go into this TV show, I guess never felt like Buffy, but now that you mention it, it was two female leads. So I was like, I guess that makes sense. But the way they shot it, the way the freaking ice cream man looked, the way the freaking Mr. Whatever name in the moon, I was like, it felt like Are You Afraid
Mr.
of the
Melancholy.
Dark? And I was like, I think I was just confused on, and then didn't he talk to the camera a couple of times?
100%. He talked to the camera a bunch, but so yes, I'll just say, I had to keep divorcing myself from my idea of any one of those shows because they were sort of referencing 90s in general.
Yes, because it was even almost a little bit like Power Rangers.
There was a point where it was Power Rangers.
You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
There was a point where it was Power Rangers, and then all the cameos, like Amber Benson's in it. Fred Durst plays the dad.
Yes.
It's not necessarily a cameo, it's sort of a role. But then like Pete and Pete, those the two neighbors that are across the street,
which is crazy.
Point, is
wait
Pete
a minute,
Pete.
That was Fred Durst.
Yeah.
And so
one line.
They're just sort of pulling on. They're just sort of pulling on all of those different things without it being any one of those things, you know.
correct. I think they intentionally didn't want it to be like one show. It was just like a lot of shows had like a influence there. Yeah, I mean, I actually didn't mind that the show like had these like really kind of very lo-fi, you know, kind of cheap visuals and like the show itself seemed like it didn't really make that much sense. But it was kind of like fun and like he was just obsessed with, like, I could totally get that. You know, Owen lies to his parents and says he's sleeping over at a different friend's house and winds up sneaking over there to watch the show. I think this is one of the things that I struggled with. And I don't know if there's more meaning here, but it was like, I never really got a sense of like, why, like, what exactly, what was it about this show that Owen was connecting to? What was it about the show that Maddie was connecting to? And what was it that they were both feeling?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, at times it just felt like they just liked this show. And it was like, okay, but what is the show supposed to represent? Like, I didn't quite understand that.
I struggle with that because, I think that's the nuance that I think maybe
we're lacking.
Yeah, I think because I clearly can understand what Buffy means to the queer community, to women. Like it is Buffy wears that shit on her goddamn sleeves. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. But when watching the flashbacks of this, like I truly didn't understand the show until the moment James brought up, which is later on when we hear about the finale of the show. And then I was like, oh, maybe there are little moments in the flashbacks that I missed. And I actually went back and watched some of the just TV show elements. And I'm like, I don't know. Because even Mr. Melancholy, it didn't say what his... It would be different if Mr. Melancholy was trying to get them to conform. You know what I mean? Like, if it's like, say his thing was... I don't want the sun to come out because I don't want you to like grow and become the person you should be or something in that nature. But low-key, he was just a murderer. You know what I mean? Like, who helped you transition? Oh, maybe that's what it is. Because technically, when he took your heart and buried you...
I mean, wait, but let's...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the end of that. I definitely... We need to talk about it.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I agree, Bray. I don't... Yeah.
I just meant for even in the beginning of this, like, just from a character... I felt like this film... Because it was so wrapped up in the allegory, it didn't really bother to like actually establish these characters. I don't know who Maddie is. And if they're both wrestling with gender identity, or here's what I'll say. It's like if this is an allegory or a metaphor, it seemed like Jane, and I think I read some quotes where specifically Jane was like, I wanted this to be an allegory. I didn't want this to be like the characters are actually dealing with their trans identity. Mm-hmm. I did not want the plot to be about that. But I feel like we didn't get a substitute.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
It's like, it's like, okay, but then what's the substitute? Because to me, it's like, look, The Matrix is not about trans identity. It's not about trans identity, but there are moments in The Matrix that obviously people have pointed to where it's like, this was the Wachowskis kind of giving a nod to their trans identity, right? Like, and that's done through actual character or plot devices. Like, and for me, I was like, and to me, this is an A24 problem. It's like we get the mood, but the mood is so ambiguous. It's like we get the feeling. And like to me, it was like there was a part of me that loved the fact that Mr. Melancholy was the big bad, and also that they were using the term big bad, by the way.
I know.
I thought that was cool. But like, and Mr. Melancholy was the big bad. And I was like, this film has melancholy all over it. Like, the freaking all the characters seem to be, you know, oozing with melancholy. But we never get why. And it's like, there's a part of me that's like, why are you just, even if we all know the feeling, can't you at least give us a bit of a reason as to what is happening with these people? That they're feeling this way. Yeah. Why can't it? And if eventually it becomes like we are these TV characters, which I honestly just don't understand. Give me a little bit of that early on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Show the difference between this other friend who winds up not being Maddie's friend anymore. And these two people and how they relate to the TV show and how this other character who's just watching but doesn't actually relate in the same way. We don't get that.
Yeah. And to that end, it also begs the question of like, what even are these other people in this reality? Like, you know, like what does it mean? If the other friend does shift or change, in what way and what does that? Yeah.
It's hard because I think the thing about the movie is, and I mean this in, I do mean this in a good way. This movie is a lot of message. You know what I mean? Like it's a lot of like.
Oh, interesting. Know, what's the message?
So to me, once we get into, I guess I'm skipping. Never mind. I don't want to skip yet, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just say that to me, it didn't feel like, now hearing you talk about this, I get the frustration, but I was taking the show as face value and not the show as like, there's a deeper meaning behind what the show is, you know, up until like in this beginning, like in this opening step, like I didn't think that we were supposed to get anything from like specifically who the characters were in the show and like who the, like there's this thing that happens early on when Owen's like, well, is the ice cream man in every episode? And I'm like, well, what is that supposed to mean something? Or is Owen just like interested in what the show is? So I was immediately kind of letting what the images of the show were brush off me. and was only sort of latching on to the fact that they felt connected to the show was what a lot of this earlier stuff was.
But was the ice cream man somebody? Like, was he?
But James, I'm not even saying it has to say something. I don't even think it doesn't even have to be meaningful. When somebody is connected to a show, there's a reason why. Like, what is it? Like, it says something about them, the show that they're connected to. But because we don't even know understand what this show is, like, I was like, what is it saying about these two characters that, like, was it just supposed to be like, what was happening in the show that they were like, we're so enthralled by this?
Well, also, Bray, I think to add on to that, I think, you know, maybe the issue isn't necessarily, it definitely is a part of the show, but I think the issue is something you touched on, which is like the characters themselves. Like, to be honest, we don't know a lot about them. Like,
we don't see them interact with almost anybody.
Yeah. And we only see them interact when it comes to the show. So we don't.
Yeah.
So for me, and again, I'm not saying I need to see them. I'm not trying to see somebody get bullied or no shit like that, but I need to understand what latches them on. Like, if, for instance, if he is super lonely and, like, you know, if we just saw shots of him just at home by himself chilling, but his mom was there and his mom, you know, like.
He seemed to like his mom.
Yeah. So I was like, so what was the
and be afraid of his, and he was definitely afraid of his, he liked his mom and was afraid of his dad. Like, we kind of got that.
Yeah.
We barely got why him and his dad were so disconnected, but we do at least get the line, like, isn't that show for girls?
Yeah.
And which is interesting because it's like, but we never see anything else like that.
Yeah. But then my question about it though is, I hear you, but then my question, I guess, is just like, is it not enough that without getting what the specifics are, but is it not enough that the show is their life, you know? like the show is their life.
How is the show their life?
You mean everything they focus on is the show. Like, the show is their
that and also even though he didn't want it to be like that, it is literally their life, but it is also literally their life, you know, in that way. Like, it's very like just on its face. It's not even like, what are the details of the show? It's like, that show is their life and they are only living when they're watching this show. And the specifics don't matter. Don't matter. I'm putting that in quotes. Because that is what is real, and what is real is what they know to be real is fake. I think
I struck, like, it's hard for me because once the, like, okay, so at one point, you know, when Maddie decides to leave, okay, so this is the thing. So Maddie decides to leave. She's going to run away and asked Owen to come. And it's interesting because maybe this is the part that confused me. When Owen doesn't go, Owen goes to the friend's house who he had been lying about staying at every night and told the mom, like, you know, I need to be grounded. Like, I've been saying I've been coming here, was it for the last couple of months or something, but I really been like going somewhere else. I can't leave with her. And he's like crying. And I was trying to figure out, well, why a little? Like, I understand.
I agree. Well, yeah.
I understand the struggle of not wanting to accept who you are, but in this moment, are we there yet? You know what I mean? Because even them,
it must be.
Because even with them leaving, wanting to leave, I was having a hard time with that because nothing had happened to me. And I say this where, like, you know, I don't know the microaggressions, and maybe there were some of those there, but I didn't see the thing that was a catalyst to be like, we need to get the fuck out of here. Or I need to, like, I'm being made fun of for who I am or something.
Everything. A lot of things were, I mean, things were very subtle or I guess just implied or supposed to be just like she said, like initially when he was like, can I sleep here? She was like, yeah, just make sure you leave early or like my dad will hit me or something like that.
I'll break my nose again. And I was break my nose again.
And you're like, okay, so her dad beats her.
Okay.
I don't know if her mom's in the picture. It doesn't seem like that. Yeah. So they both have dads that they're afraid of. We never see his dad necessarily do anything bad to him, but we do get that comment of, isn't that a show for girls? And there's a sense that he's afraid of his dad. Maybe the dad is embarrassed by him because he's, you know, acting a certain way or not, or, you know, and that's the thing. I think that's the thing that's somewhat difficult about the film is that we never see any of that. And the movie doesn't really care to show you it. They just are kind of like, you know, it's happening. So I don't have to show you. And you're like, okay, I guess I know what's happening. And that's what I'm saying. It's more of a mood than a story. It's not, you know, it's like very, very light storytelling because we don't actually get to experience a lot of things. We don't get to experience the actual impact. And perhaps, you know, I'm just saying that, thinking this out loud, perhaps that's because the trans experience is such an internal one. Like, it's obviously there's these external factors that are horrendous, like bigotry, like violence against trans people, and there's political stuff as well. But I think perhaps what Jane wanted to focus on was the internal experience and how that in and of itself is so difficult without even talking about all the external factors that make it difficult. It's just like the knowledge inside of yourself of like, I don't feel comfortable in my own body. I don't feel like perceived the way that I want to be perceived. Like I want to change. And this change requires so much active steps, you know, that will be pushed out against, you know. It's like interesting because I'm like, there's a part of me that's like, what? Like, for instance, like they are so connected to a story, a TV show that has like a monster of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a part of me that's like, so what's that in the allegory? Like, what's the monster of a week? Is it like the monster of like clothes and hormones procedure and, you know, like, and then like somebody else, like, what's my sexuality exactly?
Or is it a different version of you? Could you imagine if one of the episodes would have been that Monster of the Week would have been one of the women like transitioned and like them having to cope with the, but maybe that's too on the nose. Like, it just feels like you could have,
Yeah. But that's the thing that's like, this is the thing that annoys me a little bit about the auteur stuff is like, because there's this sense of like, I'm smart. And like, if you don't get it, you're not smart enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm not even saying that Jane's necessarily doing this, but other people do it. And you know, it's like, it's kind of what, like, I kind of hate sometimes when I'm watching a movie and I could tell even if I understand what's happening, I hate when it feels like the director is like trying to be like, did you notice? If you did, you're smart like me. And if you didn't, you're a commoner who doesn't get it.
Yeah, 100%.
And like, this is not for you. And you know, and I'm just kind of like, okay, like I understand not wanting to chew things too on the nose, but there's another part of me that's like, okay, but you could have helped a little bit. Like it, you know, like, cause ultimately who's the ice cream man? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't actually represent anything,
just a villain,
or is it
bro.
Just, or you just made that up? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, if so, is that actually smart? I don't know. Like, I'm sitting here going like, I don't understand what some of these things were supposed to be. Sometimes I can't, like, even this, like we're talking about, maybe the Monster of Week was some of the stuff that I'm saying or not. But like, I just felt like there were certain things that, okay, let's talk about this. The fact that she asks him to run away.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I want to get out of here. I want to run away. Come with me. You know, mind you, there is no impetus. We don't see what is actually, there is no event that spurs this. It's just
it's time to go.
Or it's just supposed to be understood that they, both of them, are not having a good time in this town. They don't like their families maybe, mm-hmm. or their school or whatever. We don't see any of that. I think we're just supposed to know it. And she's like, let's go. Whether or not let's go literally, if metaphorically is supposed to be let's transition, or it's metaphorically just supposed to be, hey, let's actually just leave. I don't know, again. But he gets scared. He goes to the neighborhood, just like Jirai was saying.
Which is reaction.
It's bizarre. It's a bizarre thing. Yeah, he's like crying and scared. But then the next scene is the her TV burning and she's missing and everyone thinks she's dead. And what I don't understand is by the time we see her again, he's like, oh my God, you're alive. Everyone thought you were dead. And I'm like, the last conversation you had with her was her saying she was going to run away. So why did you think she was dead?
Because then in that conversation, she even says, you know, you're going to have to keep the secret again. And I was like, well, he didn't keep the secret because he thought she was dead. So he didn't.
Correct. He didn't keep the secret. And then it was like, I couldn't understand if I was supposed to believe that he thought by telling his neighbor that it eventually got back to the father and the father maybe killed her. Mm. Like, it was that what I was supposed to believe?
Oh, or, I didn't think that.
But I was just like, what was his? I don't understand why he didn't think she just ran away. Like,
yeah, that don't.
I don't get that. That was the last conversation you had.
Yeah.
This whole like maybe she was dead. Obviously, I didn't buy it. I didn't even know that I was supposed to actually even think that until he saw her again and was like, everyone thought you were dead. You should tell the police. And it was like,
what? You knew what she was doing.
What are you talking about?
Y'all had a conversation about it.
Yeah. But is that stuff, the way that where my mind went with this, with the like, even though in that exact context, as you describe it, of like literally the last thing you said to me was you were leaving. But is like, I start going to like, Maddie was dead. Maddie was for that 8 years. There was no more Maddie. You know, Maddie was now living this life as this other person. And so, you know, it's that the concept of like your dead name and things like that. Like Maddie was dead. There was no Maddie in that. You know what I mean? And like, and is it supposed to sort of be hovering around those ideas? That's at least what I took from this. And I don't know what this means in the context of like actually transitioning, or so what it would mean for Maddie to appear for a few days just to bring Owen over to the other side. But that was where my mind went in these scenes, particularly like what it filled in later once we understood like where Maddie went and what was happening and who Owen may potentially really be, you know.
Yeah.
If that resonates at all.
No, it does. I think I just struggled with the why of it all. Like, cause then once she leaves, we see his like kind of mundane life. He's working.
Also, his mom dies of cancer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are we? I never understood their relationship. Is that supposed to be like,
cause they only had one scene together.
And I did understand, maybe this is all I needed to understand was that he liked his mom more than his dad. Mm-hmm. And now he's just stuck with his dad.
Yeah.
But it did feel like everything, it was like his mom dies, Maddie disappears, the show is canceled. Mm-hmm. And now he's like, I don't have a life. And the reality was he didn't really have a life before other than just watching this show. But I guess my thing is, when they were watching and enjoying this show, it didn't feel like their mood changed. Like,
yeah,
I understand at a certain point he's supposed to, like, he's just walking through life. Mm-hmm. But it felt like the kid was walking through life. And maybe that's the point, I guess. I never felt like when they were watching the show, like, they were in their happy place. Like, it didn't, mm-hmm. I didn't get that. I didn't get that impression.
So I didn't. It almost felt like they were in a trance. So it almost felt like,
right,
instead of enjoying it, it was almost an escape from whatever they were. It was like, I am so entranced in this.
Sure.
But then
maybe that is what it's supposed to be.
But then even that, though, for Maddie, it makes sense because we heard the statement about like her dad like
hits her,
attacks her. As far as what happens to Owen, I'm like, your mom seems to want you to do activities and stuff. Like, what do you need to escape from? We kind of see what Maddie's going through in that one line. And I say we need to see it, but I guess I'm just trying to understand the journey that we're supposed to see these characters go on and why. And
yeah,
I just don't, like, for instance, between act one and act two, I don't see what the conflict is. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this was, you know, a coming of age story, at this point we would introduce the love interest. Your mom is moving. You might get kicked out of school. Like, you feel insecurity about your height or who you, like, at this point, the thing would have happened. And if they are insecure or feel some kind of way about how they feel as people, like if Maddie wants to transition or even something about them not feeling comfortable in their own skin, I feel like we never got that or not even saw a hint of it. And I think that's the thing.
Oh, I was going to say real quick, James, and maybe, maybe you can comment off this, because this is a part of what I was talking about with the show. It was like, or the metaphor, right? Like, if you don't want to specifically talk about like the specifically these characters are wrestling with trans identity and you just want it to be an allegory, why not have it at least be like they feel like they're psychic or they feel like they're superhero, or you know what I mean? Like, why not have it be at least somewhat related to the show that they're obsessed with? If this is where and then we can get into this because this is where we're about to go. If the movie is going to journey plot-wise to we're a part of this TV show and we're stuck in a reality that isn't ours, why not have them feel, why not show us even an inkling of that before? That's the thing that I was a little bit annoyed by, especially because if this is supposed to be a psychological horror, even if you don't want to scare me, at least give me something that's more than melancholy mood. I want the feeling of something isn't right.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. The more we've been talking about this, the more I've been thinking like, yeah, I think the first half of this movie doesn't have nearly enough of that for the turn that we're about to take. There were definitely moments though where, and this I think is very A24, where like we might see like a shot of Owen, we saw a shot of Owen in the dress or we see like a mirrored shot of something of Owen doing something, and then the character in the show whose name I can't, either Tara or whichever one was Owen, you know.
Don't we start getting that when Maddie specifically says like, hey?
No, I think we get Owen in the dress at that point, but I think before there was at least one moment or two where there are, at least where to me I started directly connecting Owen to one of the characters, I want to say black woman, but I don't know if that was a black woman or not, but there were like, they don't do it to a degree that when Maddie says, do you ever feel like it blurs together, that I thought that the movie was showing that it blurred together, if that makes sense,
right?
But they did have like a couple moments of like mirrored stuff to where I'm assuming they were hoping that we would get like, oh, Owen feels like they're in the show or they're a part of the show, you know? But I'm especially where this is going. I feel like I agree that like it could have been hit much harder. And I think I said this to y'all off mic, but like, with the concept that I have been developing and tinkering for years about the black friend element of it. The thing I get asked the most is, what are the rules and how does it work? And what are the, you know, and what's it going to look like? And how's the blend going to blah, 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 blah. And I feel like this movie specifically was like as vague as it can be about that. Yeah. To a degree that like that became that it starts to become even more frustrating, I think, as this movie goes on. But I think that that's coming from my why am I getting noted so so heavily about this idea that I think is great and I can see, and then this thing gets to just get made, you know? And who knows if it that easily just got made, but seeing it, you know, and like, and seeing that these are our questions, you know, it's like, oh, that's frustrating.
I mean, I mean honestly, well, I'm gonna keep that to myself. You black, so it ain't gonna be easy for you. Like, you're a black dude, bro. Yeah, like, that's simple.
And
me.
Joan gets to be like, Joan gets to be like, it's, we see a black person in this, you know.
That's a different. That's a different.
It's not about that.
Ain't about a black dude. I tell you that right now. I will say it's something interesting about hearing you talk about the blend. I guess I have a question. So, was the straight to cameras a part of? Was that the real world, or was that like a? Or were we?
Yeah. Who is Owen talking to?
But was that a part of like a dream or?
Well, we don't. Owen is telling a story to us, you know, to us the audience, you know, and so it's like, but how that's happening? There is no structure. There is no framing within like what that is and why that, you know, we never get what that
correct.
Is.
Correct. Yeah, it feels just like a movie being. It feels like a movie. Like a character in a movie being like, hey, here's what's happening. I'm breaking the fourth wall like other films do. Mm-hmm. But then it becomes part of the plot because Maddie's like, do you ever find yourself doing this specific thing? And as the audience, we're like, yeah, he definitely does because he's been doing it this whole time.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he belongs to this TV world. I think there's like... You know what? I think I like, maybe I was thrown by the fact that this TV show was so cheaply made or whatever. I kind of didn't, like, I'm reading some of these reviews and they're talking about, and people are relating to like being that obsessed with the television show, like being obsessed with Buffy when they were a kid and that kind of thing. And I think I feel like the movie takes for granted just that feeling. And I am taking for granted that the movie is not interested in explaining this and just being like, no, this TV show, even though it looks like absolute crap here, is supposed to be like when you were young and you were obsessed with Star Trek and you were obsessed with Buffy or whatever.
I have to say this specifically. Yeah, I truly never questioned any of that. It looks they're talking about it like it's Buffy, but it looks just like Are You Afraid of the Dark? All of that stuff, all of the special effects of the what makes something scary, and like all of that it's directly Are You Afraid of the Dark? And I love the moment that this is later, but the moment later when Owen's like, I watched it again and it was just like, what the hell? What is this?
Yeah, it was bad.
You know, like, so much of that stuff. Some of it actually does still. You're like, well,
Buffy still look good.
That lighting's Buffy does. I'm specifically talking about Are You Afraid of the Dark? Like, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
It looks great. I'll watch Hey Dude, James, right now. What's up? What's up?
Some of that stuff, especially there's that part where we just see like two people in leotards voguing
around each other. Yeah.
That was like every other ghost on Are You Afraid of the Dark.
That is true.
Every other monster was just like somebody in a sparkly leotard, like lightly moving their hands around, and you were like, this is terrifying. You know,
better stop it. That's gonna be in a Ryan Murphy show soon. Ryan Murphy about to be like, bring back the fucking sparkles. He's gonna be like, it's gonna be a horror sparkler somewhere in one of these goddamn movies.
But to your point, Bray, I think you're right. It does take that for granted. And that really clicked with me. Like, I never had a question about the show. I only had a question about like, well, is it Are You Afraid of the Dark or is it, but you know, and it was like, oh, I can't be thinking that because it's all of them, you know?
Yeah. And I, I always thought, I guess I was thinking about it like this show was saying something or speaking to them in a certain way, as opposed to it just being like a show they really loved and were obsessed with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't quite, and it just, like, I guess it never really felt that way to me. I don't know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In the movie, it didn't feel that way. Like, I understand he was obsessed with it, but like, and I guess that was, you know what it is? It's just so hard to know because we don't see any aspect of his life.
Yeah.
So we don't see the show bleeding into other parts of his life. I don't think it's weird that he's watching that much television. I watch so much television as a kid. It's like, I watch so much television. Like, I remember trying to tape stuff if I couldn't,
mm-hmm.
couldn't watch it before there was DVR. Like, I remember, like, when DVD sets of things came out and I was in, like, The Simpsons or Seinfeld, and I was, like, buying that stuff and watching it over and going into school and quoting it. But that was my thing, is, like, we don't get that. Like, and I understand that this is a cheaply made and that kind of stuff, but there's a part of me that's, like, I kind of needed to see the interaction with the outside world a little bit to understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I think the thing is, we had no context for any, I think that's the thing. Right. There was no context for anything that's happening.
Right.
Like, there's just none. Like, and I think you need that to propel the story forward, and we just don't have it. So the motivations, we don't know them. Like, we genuinely don't know them. Even when Maddie comes back.
Yeah. And, okay. Let's get here.
Like, when Maddie comes back and Maddie says a line that I thought was about to be like, bro, we about to go into some sci-fi shit for real. Maddie goes, I'll tell you everything. Come with me. I know a spot on the edge of time. Something like that.
Was that the one?
It was something like that. Time? Like a place at edge of time or space. Yeah, something like that. Edge of time or space. Something like that. And it ended up at a bar. And I'm like, okay, maybe this is a different type of bar. Maybe this, because at this point, I'm like, I don't know the logic. So maybe we are going to the edge of time to learn a thing.
Right. And then we get the song, the I Saw the TV Glow song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that song. Those two songs were fun.
And then we get another song after that. Yeah.
And then this is my thing. Okay. Hear me out. Bray brought up The Matrix. And this is where The Matrix parallel came to me. Is that throughout The Matrix, you know, Morpheus is trying to get to Neo. When he finally gets to Neo, Neo has experienced so much crazy shit. By the time he gets to Morpheus with the red and blue pill, Neo had his mouth sealed. You know what I'm saying? Shut. Well, he couldn't open his mouth. Mm-hmm. He had a fucking creature go in his like goddamn like belly button.
Stomach.
He's been through some shit that like none of it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So when he gets proposed with the question of the red or blue pill, he's like, well, I mean, you know, he has something to weigh. So when Maddie comes back and Owen's like, yo, where have you been? Maddie's like, you know, I've been like, you know, Maddie tells what her life has been like. Then she goes,
she says, I've been in the TV.
Yeah, I've been in the world.
In the show, in the pink opaque.
And this is my thing. And this is my thing. So I was like, oh, okay. How do we do it? But then the next part of that story is I found myself working at a mall, paid a guy $50 to bury me. Well, he didn't know he was going to bury me, but I think he cared anyway. He buried me. Right. And then
buried her alive.
And then she woke up, you know,
in the TV show.
And I'm like, cool. How? I was like, okay, because again, we haven't heard about the finale yet. So I was like, how do we get to that spot? Like, how do we get to?
And then she's like, watch the finale and you'll understand.
Yeah, and I'm preparing everything for you. But then when I watched the finale, okay, and this is my confusion. Yeah. Because the finale was one of the most interesting parts.
Dark. Yeah.
Dark.
The most dark finale for a kid's television show that there ever was.
Dude, literally it opens with, I forgot the character's name, but like such and such tried to make it there. But Mr. What's his name again?
Melancholy.
Mr. Melancholy, whoever, got her first. And I'm like, got her first? And then it's like, takes out her heart. And then it's like literally a scene with the beating heart. I was like, what is happening? But then when she gets buried, I was like, oh, I get the burial. It's supposed to be a thing. But like, we don't, I was confused. Like, is Mr. Melancholy helping? Because he technically is the one who cut the heart out, put the stuff in her mouth, buried her, and if that's the rebirth.
Wasn't the idea that Mr. Melancholy forced them to drink moon juice and basically put them in a trance and bury them?
Yeah.
So that they couldn't use their powers anymore. And so the idea is that if you bury yourself in this world, you'll wake out of that trance.
Yeah. I took it as Mr. Melancholy was not helping, but he was, hurting. Yeah.
But my thing, so how do we get to the idea that burying yourself is what you need to do since he did that and it wasn't good?
I think this is where the metaphor comes in. It's like you have to, you're not living the correct life. You don't belong in this body. You need to bury this body so that you can be reborn in the right.
And look, my point is this, is like, look, I love y'all.
I'm
going to tell you this right now. If one of y'all like go missing for 3 days, like, you ain't got to be 10. If one of y'all go missing for 3 days and come back and tell me, hey, Gerard, look, nigga, the upper room for black folk, we get powers if we jump off this building, I'm going to look at you crazy. I'm going to look like, you got to give me... You got to tell me something, bro.
Which is why I actually think that I do feel like the end, I think we've all said at the end of this movie is the best part of it because it's when everything starts clicking.
Yeah.
I just think that the buildup to this is it so pushes you as an audience member away, you know, that by the time you get to this, it's kind of like, huh? But like, at least this part I understood. It was like, you know, and this is also like a Christ thing too, right? Yeah, like
I understood why he ain't getting that goddamn grant.
No, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Man. Well, it's the same reason that, I mean, you talk about the Matrix. It's the same reason that Neo didn't go around the building in the beginning and got caught in the beginning. He's just like, this is too crazy. I can't take this leap. And if you're comparing that to the trans experience too, it's like, it's a huge deal to transition. It's a huge deal.
Especially, you know, again, this is to play politics of who has it worse, but I remember, you know, trans black women go through so much. Like, I remember, you know, I used to live right here in Hollywood, and I remember during COVID, there was like this crazy attack that happened on Hollywood Boulevard with like black men and brown men. So I think it was like black and Latino men, like assaulting a group of like black trans women. And I'm like, it is such a fear, such a danger that comes with that. And so I understand the fear that Owen would have had, the fear of society that Owen would have had of like, you know, his dad, you know, what it would have been like when he came, when he was reborn, you know, because that is a whole different thing to feel comfortable in your own skin, but then now have the people in your life treat you different. But again, nothing in this movie, like Braylock said, has led up to that. Like nothing has led up to this fear. Like again, for me, when Neo doesn't want to listen, he has every reason not to listen. He's being chased by fucking, the cops are on him. The freaking, there's a woman on him. There's like people in like, looks like the FBI is on him. He has every reason to be like, yo, this is fucking too much. I'm at work. Like I'm literally at my boring ass day job. Yeah. But we don't have that for Owen. And then even after this moment when he doesn't do it and she says she doesn't come back, she never comes back, right?
Correct.
Like she never comes back. And then we skip 20 years. The gaps in time are a whole nother thing.
What was the whole, there was a whole scene with like all of the astrology, you know, like the star, the constellations. Yeah. And the, what was that about?
Listen, I'm gonna let you know. Astrology today scares. Like, I don't know what, I was in a group and everyone said their sign, their rising, their moon and their chart order, birth order. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, it confuses me. I don't know.
Yeah, it was specifically when Maddie was explaining the process of how to get to the world. I don't know what it necessarily means in that context, but that's when it happened. That was the scene when it happened.
I mean, look, man,
I was doing just like y'all was
first off, if it was a 20-year gap,
he was
older than everybody else, like even the people who he was working with.
I know that I hated that, man. I was like, bro, why does he look older than the other two guys who looked older than him 20 years ago?
I was like, what is, also I'm like, at that point he's
I'm reading on Wikipedia that it was supposedly 2036.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
So
okay,
if okay. he was, so that's.
So he's like, he's almost 50.
Years plus whatever you are when you're in seventh grade, 10. Yeah. I mean, he definitely still looked older than.
I thought he's supposed to be 60 years old.
He looked older than.
He's 10 years older than. Oh, well, how old was I in 96? I was about to say than I currently am, but I actually don't. No.
I was definitely not in seventh grade in 96.
No.
Yeah, I don't think.
Honestly, I ain't too far. No, I think it might have been
no,
close.
No, so he's, so yeah, so he would be like 12 to 15 no. years older. Yeah, no, he would be 12 to 15.
I mean, yeah, I but he's I like 50. Everybody line. Else was the same age. I was.
I can't believe older. It was still justice. I can't believe it was still justice. I feel like it needed to be.
It's crazy.
It just
I mean,
to,
it looks silly.
It does.
It just looked kind of silly.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, I love that he had, it was like, he has a family. We never see them.
And oh, he did? Like,
yeah, at the end he says, like, I have a family now. I love them. As he's dragging that huge big screen TV into his house.
Is the hope, what do you guys, what? How do y'all feel about the very end?
When he screams, everybody pauses as if they're in the TV show. And then he goes to the bathroom. He cuts his chest open. There's no heart there, but there's a TV glow. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what that means. Mm-hmm. I don't. I can't sit here and try to fake it. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, like is that the is?
And then he goes out and apologizes to everybody, and then that's the end of the movie.
Well, is this so? So I struggled with this ending. Like I said, it felt like a bummer to me. My thought is like, especially because I read a headline that I've not read the article, being like, "There's actually hope there if you want there," which is that thought of like it's never too late to transition, like. Like,
so yeah,
like,
that's what I thought.
Right.
But I don't think he does transition, does he?
So this is my thing. My thing was I think the TV in the heart was he had the chance again and then decided against it. Like he literally had a chance one more time to be who he's supposed to be, but then decides to conform and he literally ends the movie apologizing for like himself for like, yeah, what he yeah, is, what he yeah. does. Like he literally yeah. He doesn't do the leap. Like he doesn't do the character journey.
So how is that hopeful?
I mean, I didn't think it was hopeful.
Yeah, but. That's what I mean. Well, again, I have to read this article because I feel like the article's like the chance is still there. Maybe it's what they're leaning on. But then to end it again, I haven't read the article. But then to end it on the apology, I was just like, wow.
That apology was rough.
I felt so bad. It really was like a kick in the gut.
And his life was like
I've been saying it like I didn't need like more in the story to show why Owen is rejecting it every time. I keep thinking about like even just what I mean you I think it does take us putting in the blanks that we've been talking about, but like I just keep thinking about like what you know, gender and sexuality, how we talked about that in the 90s, you know, and like, yeah. And even what the to this day, you know, when I hear a new thing that I'm not accustomed to, the steps that it takes for me to go, for me to make it make sense in my head, you know, just because of what is ingrained in me from growing up in that time, you know, every time Owen ran away, I was like, yep. You know, like that, sure. You know, so that didn't, you know, but it was, but it, but to this end, there was just, I wanted more. My rewrites was stuff like, I feel like the show could have attacked him. Like there could have been horror in the show elements that, yeah. that Owen saw because of the fear of what it would mean to embrace that or what it would mean to, you know, like, I could have seen stuff like that, which is just leaning more into metaphor and surrealism. But I could have had that more than like more real life stuff happening, you know. And then I also still have questions about like who exactly is Mr. Melancholy and what does yeah. it what do these people in this midnight realm if what we're supposed to take from this, if we take it as literally as like Owen. is in a fake world and his and Owen's and her or their real world is this other thing, you know, like the logic of like what this stuff means. Like I
Do you I kept telling myself within the context of the movie or within the context of real life?
Within the context of the movie, I guess. Yeah, is what I mean.
Does it matter? I mean, like, I feel
and,
like...
Yeah, and that's... And I guess not. I guess it doesn't matter is sort of what... Is more what I'm saying. But
yeah,
but
in the context of the movie, it felt like it's just the bad guy. I don't... But yeah, like, in the context of the... And how it relates to real life, it's so... it is interesting that the big bad is melancholy.
Mm-hmm.
Because... Mm-hmm. And maybe, I mean, that's something, man, this is where it was like, oh, if we had a guest, it would be in, you know, obviously great.
The number of questions I would have put on this one guest.
I know. Like, almost kind of glad we didn't have it. So we weren't like, so what does it feel like?
So what does this mean? Everything.
Is a trans experience just melancholy?
If we could have had Joan on the show, that would have been great. Because I got a lot of questions for Joan specifically, but I don't know. You know,
I do. But the melancholy aspect of it, it's like, does that feel like the big bad? You know what I mean? Like within the trans experience, does melancholy feel like the big bad? Like it's just this like complete unease and like with like you can live your life. Like you can have, I think that's a part of it was like, it was almost like Jane was saying like, if I didn't transition.
I keep saying Joan, Jane.
Yeah.
Skylar, go back and can you put in...
No, Skylar. I'm going to say, hold on,
wait.
He did it, Skylar.
Wait, hold on.
Skylar, he did it.
I'm
going to
say,
yeah,
every spot, please, Skylar. Here we go. I'm going to clearly say Jane, and then I just want you to just go back through. Here we go. Jane.
Okay. Great.
Okay, and then just drop that in.
I hope that's not done.
Skylar, drop that in every time.
We ain't got no time for that, Skylar.
I wonder if Jane is like, if that is how they felt, like, I could have not transitioned. I could have lived a perfectly normal life with a job, even though, you know, there's a part of me that was like, why'd you got to make this person be like, their job was like working at a...
It was like the crappiest job you could give a human.
It was like such a crappy job, but then like, we also see them like have a house, a family, and a big screen TV. I was like, the math isn't math in there. Anyway, but, so I felt like it was a little bit of, like, I don't know. Did we need the extra motivation for this person to feel like their life was sucked by putting them in a job that was so, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That we know is such a low paying job.
Yeah.
Like to work at like a freaking, you know, Chuck E. Cheese or wherever whatever the equivalent of that place is supposed
to
be.
You wish it was Chuck E. Cheese.
It was some kind
of
like movie theater.
It was like a David Buster's.
But there was a movie theater there. Oh, and then
it closed down.
And then it became a fun. He called it like Fun Entertainment Center.
The Fun Center.
It was like a David Buster's. It was just like, you know, like a 50 something year old man working at a David Buster's, like being forced to sing Happy Birthday to. And look, there's nothing wrong with it. Look, I mean, I definitely worked at. I've worked at a place where I had to sing Happy Birthday.
Oh, same.
You know. 14, 16 times a day. But like, it's just, I don't know. Anyway, it was just interesting to be like, oh, like, but like, I'll just live with this melancholy. And like, that's what he was doing. And then he finally has an outburst where he's like, I'm dying.
But then everyone froze. So I was like, was that the real world? Like, I think I can't.
Well, the other side of this too is there is a kind of almost throwaway line that Maddie has. That Maddie says led to her going to the pink opaque world, which is like time moves really fast. Things are, you know, like those little things. And I do think that part of the strangeness of this ending, of it sort of still being justice in makeup and sort of the things that don't quite feel right. I think some of that offness is supposed to be from that, like from this fake reality that they live in. I think that's at least how I was taking it.
All right. Anything else?
Nah.
Well, it's time for The Cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it.
I don't want to do it.
But whether or not it helps The Cause
in
rating black actors.
I don't want to do it.
In Hollywood. So if it fully helps The Cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped The Cause, we give it a white palm. If it didn't really help The Cause at all, we don't give it anything. Count of three, we'll raise our reviews for I saw the TV glow. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1.
Shit.
All right, 2 black fists and a palm. To be fair, I do think that's the appropriate rating.
It's always funny to me when Gerard feels like he made the wrong decision based off of because it has nothing to do with it's just how you perceive it.
But listen, man,
you always take it like it. Whenever right after we do it, we just hear Gerard, shit. That's when those are my favorite.
It's like I gave it a palm because if I look at
say
these
it.
Two actors are fine. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like both of them work a lot. These actors are fine.
I see. You mean they're fine in their career?
Yeah, in their career. Like both are
not that their acting ability is fine.
No. Like their careers are great and thriving, like they will be fine. I think Jane will get to do more stuff. Overall, like quality of the movie story wise, I personally am happy it was made, but also like I feel very weird that like I don't know if it was made well, and I don't know if I can say that. So I don't know. I'm just like really on the fence about I don't know.
Great. I gave it a fist because obviously it stars Justice. I do think while he is like a known actor, I don't think he's still yet superstar level. So like having movies like this are beneficial. It's also cool to like, you know, this is a queer story told by a trans feminine non-binary person, but that person is white and they decided to use a black man in their storytelling. So I thought that was cool. And, you know, this I appreciate that. And I gave it a fist because I think that while it is not a commercial success, it sure was a success with critics. A lot of critics. It has 220 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. So a lot of critics saw this. Like it was well seen by the film community, which I think matters when it comes to casting.
Agree. Yeah. Yep. Fist for all those reasons. Bray just said, I don't know. I mean, it's an A24. The things that I don't like about A24 movies, this has some A24 movies. This has a good amount of that, but the stuff that it, the newness of it and the stuff that connects to, you know, things that I'm interested in creatively, I was very moved by. The very fact that this is a queer story being told by a trans writer director, I don't know, all of that is great, you know. Mm-hmm. So and good for, and I've already said this before, but I'll say it again. I have two comics that I have written that could run adjacent to Justice's last two movies that we did, this one and the Magical Negro one. And so there's something in the air there. I don't know if, I don't know if I can come up with something that he could then do next, but there's certainly been things that Justice has been making that have been exciting to me as a creator. So there's that.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Remember, you can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where we have a link to our Patreon and Red Circle. That is our exclusive content sites. And it's $5 a month. You get a new episode every 2 weeks. There's a bunch of episodes on there. It helps keep this show free. So please subscribe. Also, if you want to watch some improv, you can see me performing with my Herald team. This is She at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles. I have show dates at johnbraylock.com, as well as some information about classes that I teach or coaching opportunities. So check that out.
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc. Three is the number three, ruleofthreeinc.com. I'm selling some comic books. I'm also teaching a class at UCB. It's on Mondays starting the 27th, 21st. I don't know. Look it up. It's an impressions class, though, if you're trying to, you know, you're trying to get them impressions. And it's in person. It's my first time doing it in person in years. So excited. Since pre-pandemic. So excited about that. That's it. Also, though, but why y'all ain't tell me I was saying the name wrong? Like, when I was saying Joan all these times, y'all didn't.
I didn't know. Honestly, I drifted in and out.
You just didn't know who I was talking. You could have just said, bro, is Jane.
I thought you were referring to somebody else. I ain't know what the hell.
Who would it be? Who would Joan be in this scenario? So mad. I'm mad at y'all.
That's so funny.
Just replace every time I say Joan with Jane.
That's on you, brother. You can follow me at Dry Mulligan on Twitter and Instagram. Honestly, I do have shows coming up. I don't know any of them. Oh, but our short film is in Short Stacks, which is Thursday, October 24th at 7, 8 p.m. out here in L.A. And yeah, I don't know. I got shows coming up. I post them on Instagram or something. I'm getting bad at this. But yeah, that's it.
All right. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.